Well, Lord, just bless what we're about to share and say and minister, and let our ears be hearing ears. And thank you that we speak as an oracle of God, that we are your oracles, and that we release your power in this. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
My first verse is Romans 1. And this is a very well-known verse. And I want to do a little word definition in this verse. You know, I get accused sometimes of speaking about miracles, the power of God, and that's all I talk about. People go, well, you know, what about salvation? What about heaven? You know, it's like, hey, can you accept your gift of heaven today? How about you? If you're heading into heaven today, can you accept it today? Mm-hmm. Actually, you can't physically accept it today, because you have to die first.
Okay.
Right? Can you physically accept? You know what? We have heaven by faith. That's how we receive it. Once we receive heaven and we are saved and born again, there's no way to really prove that we can't say, I've been there and here's my smartphone video of it. No one can argue it away from us. But it's not really something you can cash in at the bank today. Does everyone agree?
Amen.
So the Bible says, glorify God in your spirit and in your body. Now, I received heaven in my human spirit. So I glorify God in my spirit today, that I am His child, I'm His son, I'm heaven bound, I'm glory bound. I already have it. I'm already the citizen of heaven, sitting here in front of all of you as an ambassador on earth. Not, you know, everyone goes, well, I'm a patriotic American, you know. Some people make a religion out of that. And it's like, I'm a son of God, you know. That's my true destiny and being, and it's right now, you know. And so what's left? My soul, if my spirit is secure for heaven, what's left? My soul and my body, because we're a three-part being: spirit, soul, and body. The soul is what houses your mind, see. So that's, if your spirit is secure for heaven, then we need to look in the gospel what we need for our soul and our body. You see? And so that's the gospel too, for everybody. Spirit, soul, body, be sound. So look at this verse here. In other words, I'm preaching you a practical kingdom message. It isn't, some people, let's say a man and woman and two children, their philosophy in life is, my four and no more. You know? And it's like, damn the world. I've got all the college tuition paid. I've got the three cars, two in the garage, and we're all secure. I got the mortgage almost all paid off. And you remember what Jesus said to some guy in a parable? God appears to a guy in this parable. He says, you fool, tonight your soul's required of you. It's like you've got your earthly kingdom all set. But what did you do for me in my kingdom, you know? And so, I feel like it's important to have a practical message. You know, if it says glorify God in your spirit and your body, and then I get sick, did I glorify God? Is that glorifying God in my body? Not really. And yet there's a lot of believers that think getting sick is holy. Oh, God made me sick to teach me something. God put me flat on my back to teach me something. No, He didn't. God is a loving Father. He doesn't abuse His children. Okay? So listen to this. I'm not ashamed. Verse 16. Romans 1, verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Okay. First of all, the gospel is for everybody who believes. There's this one group that teaches that God has predetermined and predestined just certain people to be saved. But that isn't what the Bible teaches. Not that this verse doesn't say that. This verse says anyone who believes it. And it's the power of God. Okay. You know, sometimes people preach salvation and no power. You know? But the power of God is proving God right now in the room. Having proof of God come to us and work in our lives every day. Having legs get alignment. That's the power of God. Okay? Now, you got a testimony?
Yeah.
30 seconds, go.
My legs got aligned and my hamstrings were tight and now my feet don't hurt. It's all right. Hallelujah.
When that happened, when?
About 2 weeks ago.
Someone prayed for you or what?
No, somebody grabbed my legs and said, grow in the name of Jesus. I don't know what they did, but you did.
Yeah, okay. I'm just, bro, see, I just believe this stuff.
Yeah.
And at the moment, he believed it.
Yeah, I see.
Okay, it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. It's the power of God to save, for salvation. Now, it's important that you understand this word salvation. Most people think that means being born again and going to heaven. But the truth is, it's a Greek word. If you go study this and look it up in a Greek New Testament, you'll see that this word salvation is the word sozo.
Sozo.
Yeah. Well, I have the meaning of sozo, and this is what sozo means. Because like many Greek or Hebrew words, there's a whole variety of meanings to it. And listen to what the word sozo means. Once you read this, once I read this to you, you're going to say, oh, I want some of that. Look, it means to save, heal, deliver, protect, preserve, and make whole. Wow, there's nothing left out. There's nothing left out from the physical or the mental or the spiritual in my thinking. There's nothing left out. We got to get us some of that sozo. Save, heal, deliver, protect, preserve, and make whole. God wants to sozo us. Huh? Yeah. S-O-Z-O.
Sozo.
Yeah. What's that Russian drink? Ouzo?
Ouzo vodka?
Wow, I know some of you guys don't.
Salvation, what's that?
It's salvation in the Greek is the word sozo. And it means save, heal, deliver, protect, preserve, and make whole. In other words, if God sends angels to us to a life or death situation that you just got in, he is sozoing you. If you have problems in your legs and lower back and hips, and someone aligns your legs and heals them, the Holy Spirit just sozoed you. See? If a person is receiving Christ for the first time ever and becoming born again, God is sozozoing their human spirit, see, for eternity. So, we have testimonies from this Bible study from a few years ago of angels getting involved in one of the guy's daily lives. And he has a powerful testimony. He's gotten a lot of people saved with that testimony. And But, one of the words for sozo is deliver. That suddenly, you know, there was this drunken sailor, his name is Robert Tom. I have his book at home. It's a really good book. And this is back in the 1940s. And he lived in South Africa. And he received Christ one night. And he'd go out to this bar every night with his friends. And they would just tie one on. And this night, he got saved. He received Christ. Well, his wife and children were home praying for him because he'd come home. He'd stagger in the middle of the night drunk every night, and he was no good to his family at all. And so this one night he gets saved and he goes to the local bar, and his friend buys him a drink and he drinks it and he doesn't feel anything. He's got the power of the Holy Spirit sozoing him, see? And so he gets another drink, and he takes a drink, and he can't get it high. He can't get his buzz on. And so they keep giving him drink after drink, and it will not affect him. He can't get drunk. And so finally, one of his best buddies said, you know, this is where you find out who your friends are. One of his best buddies says, I'm going to beat you to death if you don't get drunk now because you're wasting my money. So he ran, and he never went back. I mean, because if God can't, if God's going to miraculously not let him get drunk, then he, I've heard other people say, it tasted bad. That cigarette turned bad on me. I'll never have another. I heard people say things like this, that miracles happen, you know. And so now you know the meaning of the word sozo, and there's about six meanings to it, and only one of the meanings is to be born again. Let's move on and look over Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. Can you find it in the New Bible? You're not using the New Bible.
Yeah. Why?
I can tell.
I'm in a white Bible. Why don't you want me to use it?
Is that the New Bible?
Yeah.
Really? That's it? I thought it was black.
No. Oh, no, you talk about the other one.
Yeah.
You got a nice study Bible?
No, I said you're not using it right now.
Right.
Okay, 1 Thessalonians 5. It's okay. You can use whatever you want. It says, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. So first thing we learn there is that we're a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. And Paul usually always ranks his list. When Paul gives you a list, he always ranks them in order of descending importance. And so he's saying the real you is your spirit. Once you receive Christ, that's the real you. I think it's funny when people say, my spirit said, I'm going, wait a minute, you are the spirit. You should say, my soul is saying, or my body is saying, but I am the spirit. You get that? That's a subtlety. But let's have faith. I am the spirit of Greg. The spirit of Greg is dealing with you. See? There's a human spirit in here. Inside here. It's given life when you receive Christ. So there's three parts to me. And the human spirit is where God lives. That's His temple. And that's where God communicates. And that's where God speaks to. And then somehow I have to get that processed out of my spirit up into my mind. You see? And this is your... this is how you learn the wavelength of the human spirit and the Holy Spirit, which are in unity, is this is the wavelength. He talks through this, but not only does He take you to a verse, but once you learn how the verses think, because this is God's thinking patterns, then you're in the wavelength of the Holy Spirit, and you know, and God says, hey, if you ever hear anyone that doesn't sound like me, don't listen to them. That's the devil. You know, that's a demon. That's somebody, that's an evil being. If you hear somebody that doesn't sound like me from Genesis to Revelations, because my voice is consistent. Although 40 men wrote this, one voice came through 40 men. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible says. They're inspired. And so, now, I am a spirit. I possess a soul. And I live in a body. Well, so the body's at the bottom. Did you know the body is your least important thing?
It's a shell.
And yeah, it's a tent. Peter says, in a little while, I'm going to put off this earthly tent.
Yeah.
And that's what my mom did on the 22nd of December. She left her earthly tent. You know, when your tent wears out, that was your permit to stay on earth. It's like you're not a card-carrying earthling anymore when your tent wears out. You have to go on to eternity. And so it's kind of like your earth suit is like a space suit. Don't get a hole in it. You die from the pressure and the cold. We're frail. We are frail. This earth suit is real important. And God's saying, hey, take care of your earth suit. Let's not poison it with substances and sin, you know? So that's the last part of you, the third part of you. The least important part is your body. And Paul said, I keep after my body. I buffet my body like a boxer. And what he's saying is, hey, stomach, doesn't sound like I've been buffeting. Doesn't look like I've been buffeting my body. Hey, it is just post-holidays, right? There's my excuse. But you see, Paul said, I buffet my body. I keep after it like a boxer because I do not want to be, cast away with the rest of the people. I want to win the race and get the prize of my high calling in Christ Jesus. So I keep after my body. I buffet my body like a boxer. You know, buffeting means like this. See? And then there's this pulpit joke in a lot of the churches where the pastor will stand up and say, we need to buffet our bodies at 12 o'clock. Yeah. But buffeting your body is to... It's like, okay, you brute of stomach, I sentence you to a day fast if you're gonna complain like that. I'm gonna sentence you to a fast. I'm gonna fast food one day, stomach. See, that's treating your body the way it's supposed to be. Body, I'm the spirit, and I lead, and you follow. I the spirit lead. My mind comes behind because God's in the spirit. See. And then, body, you come last, and you do whatever I tell you to do. And you see, that's the order that Paul used. Interestingly, if you go over to Romans, this is interesting. Remember, some of you are too young, maybe not, you're too young. Flip Wilson in the 70s, he said, the devil made me do it. You go, oh, that's funny. He's casting off personal responsibility. That's a joke, though. He was joking. But you know what? I was reading the Bible in Romans one day, and Paul said, it isn't I who sin, it's my members sin. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, look what he's doing. He's doing the same thing. He's not associating his sins as his own. You know what he's doing? You say, yes, God does want us to take personal responsibility in our lives for whatever we do, right? But after you get this revelation of spirit, soul, and body, I am a spirit. That's the real me. I have a soul. That's right here, up here between my ears, my mind and my will and my emotions and my memory. That's my soul. And I live in this earth suit body. Okay? So watch this. The Apostle Paul saying, that wasn't me to sin. He's saying, that's not my human spirit to sin. That's my members. That's my arms. My legs. Your brain is a member. A sex organ is a member. Right? No. It's like, I didn't sin. My members have sinned. Now you see how easy it would be then for him to put his members in check when he realizes he doesn't have to be condemned in his spirit? Because did you know that there's a verse in 1 John chapter 4, and it says, That which is born of God does not sin. That which is born of God does not sin. Let's think about that. If your human spirit is born of God, it does not sin. In fact, this is what I believe. And I believe I have scripture on this. Your human spirit has not sinned since the day you received Christ. It's born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And when you sinned, it was your members. It was your flesh. The flesh is made up of the soul and the body. Your soul sinned and your flesh sinned. Your human spirit did not sin. In other words, the devil's trying to tell you you're a great big sinner. And it's like, wait a minute, Satan. Wait a minute. I am a righteous man who you, Satan, are trying to make sin. I am not a sinner who God is trying to make righteous. You got that? Let's flip it over. I'm not a half empty glass. I'm a half full glass. You see it? I'm not a big sinner that God is trying to make sinless. I am a righteous being who the devil would like to trip up and make sin. And if I do, then I will say, my members did that. Now, should I confess and apologize to God? Yes, but to be honest with you, the blood that flows from heaven is cleansing you 24/7. The sin that you're going to do next week has already been forgiven. It has already been released in God's mind. So, you might say, well then what would I have to confess for? Well, because it's all about relationship. He's your Father. And, you know, did you... If some of you had a good father and he was a disciplinarian, he was far easier on you if you were remorseful, right? Than if you were unrepentant, not caring, laughing at his spankings. What did laughing at a spanking get you? More spanking, right? It was bad if you laughed at a spanking. All I'm saying to you is, God, it's correct to go to the supreme being of the universe, who is your personal heavenly Father, and say, I missed it, and I'm really sorry, and I won't do it again. And you know what? God doesn't need that for him. He needs it for you. He wants to separate you from your sin at that moment so you don't do it again. That's the reason you confess it. See? Because you're really already forgiven. You see how much better the gospel is than the people that don't understand it really make it? The gospel is so wonderful that I'm a righteous man who sometimes slips and sins. But even if I sinned, it wasn't me, it was these members of mine. Because the real me is a perfect man. Isn't that amazing? At one time, some guy came in and he'd been out there on a run for about 8 months and he'd been drinking and he was caked with mud and pasture cow manure, how that, where's rolling, I don't know. But hay seed, hay, caked hair, bawling, crying, ashamed, thin, a wisp of a man, like a skeleton. Doesn't use the facilities, goes right in the clothes. That's all caked in there too. Just like, okay, wait a minute. And I'm, this guy's in that room over there, and I'm trying to help him. And it's like the Holy Spirit speaks to me. This is like my first few months here. And he says to me, son, I want you to see the glory in this man. Look past everything you see right now. Look past his shame and his sadness and his self-loathing. And look past everything he's feeling about himself. And I want you to see the glory in this man. And then you begin to encourage him and love him and say, we're going to do it. You can do it. This is your year. And begin to encourage him and pull him out of this. Lift him a hand up. And it's like, and I'm just thinking, God, only God can see the glory in a man in that condition. And then the Apostle Paul writes, from now on, I will see no man after the flesh. In other words, Paul's saying, from now on, I'm going to see each one of you according to your inner glory and that inner spirit in you that has received Christ. And I don't care what you do, I'll receive you right back because I know God is going to receive you right back. You see what I mean? And so we have this wonderful gospel where he not only wants to he wants to redeem us, make us more righteous, sanctify us. Then he wants to heal us, deliver us, protect us, preserve us, make us whole. He wants us to receive it, spirit, soul, and body. So, what is the salvation of the spirit? You've listened to me now for 20 minutes. What's the salvation of the spirit? Well, sozo, but specifically in the sozo, what is
salvation of the spirit?
Yeah,
deliverance.
Well, no, this stuff, but I'm breaking it down into each one third.
The spirit is when God reborns our spirit, not our soul. And
there you go.
Will come to life.
There you go. And it's done in a holy manner, and then that which is born of God does not sin, and it's an eternal being right there at the moment you receive Christ.
Does that mean like a born again Christian, in my belief, couldn't commit murder, couldn't rape a little kid, or be like that?
Well, they could, but they're not prone to. You see,
they're using their.
If they get in the flesh, they could do it wrong. But let's put it this way: when we receive Christ and we're whole and we are righteous on the inside and we're sinless on the inside, then we're pretty much living. We can live to not sin instead of live to sin. But once in a while, we'll miss it and we'll miss the mark and we'll sin. And then what we need to do is we need to go to God and confess it. And say, you know, I'm sorry. But then receive, and he says, hey, when I forget, I remember those sins no more. And, you know, I made this up on Facebook. I have these little jokes I do on Facebook called I Asked God.
Yeah.
And here's one I wrote. I said, I asked God if he remembered that sin I did a week ago. And God said, what sin? See, now God says, I will remember your sin no more. You know what? When God says something, you can take it to the bank. He does not lie. So, we have trouble forgetting something on purpose, right? A bad thing happens to us. It's traumatic. We have trouble. That's post-traumatic stress syndrome. You know, it keeps coming back to us and we can't get it out of our head. We can't forget it. He's a supreme being. He's omnipotent. He can do anything he wants. And if he wills himself to forget something, then he's forgot it. And then it says, as far as the east is from the west, that's how far your sin is removed from you. See, as God removes your sin from you, and he forgets it. And so don't go reminding him of your past sins, because you're just going to...
Yeah, one more question. I want to interrupt you. Is a white lie, it's not as bad as murder, right? But my buddy says, no, a sin is a sin.
To be honest with you, I'm kind of with your buddy. God said in the Bible that your righteousness that you do, the righteousness you try to do is like filthy rags. So if our best day is filthy to God, then our worst day is probably about equally filthy to God, you know. And that's why, the Bible says homosexuality is a sin. But you know what? It's man that has stigmatized that and hates it so bad, but it's really not any, to me, it's not any worse than just fornicating, you know, just committing sexual sin with a woman, you know, adultery. It's like, it's really just all kind of in the same categories, okay? And
show me that one, because I used to think, I said, I'm not a murderer, and I didn't done this, my friends have done this, and God told me, nah, man, the white horse jumps in the mud is still dirty, you know?
Well, let's talk about something for a moment. In Catholicism, and even in the denomination I grew up in, I grew up a Lutheran, and they're a lot like Catholics. They have this thing where if you commit suicide, they won't let you be buried in the church cemetery. And that's in movies, okay? And it's in, you see that in television and movies and stuff. But I've actually heard, my mom was a devout Lutheran, and she said, oh no, suicides never go to heaven. And I started reading the Bible, and I really studied, and I really started learning what the gospel of Christ really was. And you know what? Your new birth is not a state of doing, it's a state of being. You know what I mean? And you're not held accountable for the last act you committed on earth in God's eyes. You're accountable in God's eyes for what you were, not what you were doing. Were you a born again child of God, in relationship with God, knowing Jesus Christ when you died? So maybe you got depressed. Maybe a guy who got depressed, he took too many pills and he offed himself. Okay, he was righteous on the inside. Like I said, that which is born of God does not sin. He's going to heaven. That guy's going to be in heaven. You're not.
He's got a hold of him.
Yeah, it isn't the last. It isn't the last. That's like saying, you know what? By my mom's own definition, see, this is how much fallacy there is in what my mom said to me about suicide. She got dementia. She forgot all of us, including God. But she was a devout Christian before, when she still had her sane mind. So watch this. She would be lost upon her death if she wasn't in that. See, religion. I hate religion. Because religion says, it's what you're doing at the moment. It's what you're doing every day. You know? And you better repent to God every 15 minutes. And you know what? That's fear. Repenting to God every 15 minutes is fear. I'm His son. So I forgot to repent today, Lord. Because I got you covered. You're my son. You know? I'm not going to let you go to hell. Jesus said, you know, my sheep know me and they hear my voice, and nobody can take my sheep out of my hands. Jesus said, nobody can take my sheep out of my hands. I mean, I am so impressed with the things that I keep seeing. Like someone said that maybe when a person leaves their body on the final day, that Jesus gives them one more chance. You know? Jesus says, on your way out of here, there's hell. You sure you don't want me? You see, a hardened person who hates Christ would probably say, no, I don't want anything to do with it. I want to go to hell. Yeah. Haven't you ever heard people say, I want to go to hell?
Yeah.
Because, you know,
party down there, sir.
They're offended at God. People are offended at God. It's like, I don't want any part of you, God, because I don't like the Christians I met. They were nitpicky, bickering, gossipy people, and I don't like them. Yeah. Well, you know what? Christians aren't perfect. They're just forgiven, you know? And like I already explained, forgiveness is in advance. And so we get forgiven by God before we even sin. So, Let me talk a minute about the soul. Because Paul says here, we read this together. It says, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says preserved here, but in the Old King James it says sanctified. Where we read in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Okay, so if God is preserving or sanctifying my spirit by saving it and making it born again so it doesn't sin ever again, then how is He sanctifying my soul? How is God preserving and sanctifying my soul, my mind? How is He making my mind more like Him, more righteous, less of a liability to me? Because after all, isn't that what's wrong with us? Is we are our own worst enemy, and we reap, we sow, and then we reap it back.
The storm of your spirit continues and eventually overflows into your mind. It's like a cup that flows over. And then your mind is a sponge, or your soul, whatever, I believe. Once the spirit gets torn, you flow over on the vessel that we have.
Amen.
And then it starts actually influencing your mind. You get drunk on the Holy Spirit.
Well, we shall reap everything we sow. God said that. Now watch this. I wrote this on Facebook one day. I wrote, when I learned that I had to reap everything I sowed, I went to my bag of seed and kicked it over and spilled it all out and replaced it with only good seed. Now that's all I plant. Because I have to reap everything I sow. See? So, and you know what? One time I was reading the Golden Rule. Who knows the Golden Rule of Jesus? Jesus' Golden Rule.
Oh, love your brother as yourself.
No.
Love God.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Okay. Do unto others. Haven't you heard that quoted? That's the Golden Rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Now watch this. Watch this. I believe, I saw this one day and it just exploded out of the Bible at me. I believe Jesus was quoting sowing and reaping.
Right. Huh?
I believe Jesus was quoting sowing and reaping. Let me rephrase it a little. Because, you know, things get lost in the translation. Let me rephrase it slightly. You do to others, and then you will see them doing the same back to you. Let's quote it the old-fashioned way. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So figure out what you want being done unto you, and that's what you go do to all the others. You're going to reap everything you sow. So you know what? Someone said, okay, God brought down the Twin Towers. That's what everyone says, okay? And all these religious people. In fact, there's this book out. It's called The Harbinger. You know, I wouldn't read it. It's written by a rabbi who's received Christ, but he's still too rabbified, okay? He believes that God gave the 2001 horrific accident, or not accident, but murder of 3,000 people in those towers in the Pentagon. Then he believes in 2008, exactly 7 years later, this rabbi says that God gave us the financial collapse. And these are called harbingers. And a harbinger is a warning from God. And every 7 years, so we've got one coming, 8 and 7 is 15. We've got a harbinger, another bad harbinger coming in 2015. Okay? And it's like, okay, wait a minute. God said that on the night that that Jesus was born, he said, his angels came and sang, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. God is saying, I'm at peace with you, man. Because of that baby in the manger, I'm at peace with you now, and now we're going to spend the rest of time trying to figure out how to get you all to heaven. And we aren't going to send any of you to hell unless you want to go. And it's like, so that's God's heart. God wants to save mankind. And he isn't killing people before they can receive him so they can go. Okay, think it through. That means God's right-hand man on 2001 was Osama bin Laden.
Nope.
He's so wicked and demon-possessed, he's never listened to God in his life. That means his orders did not come from God. See? God. Instead, there's all these little stories and testimonies on 9/11 of how these Christian guys, he stopped his subway, and then all of a sudden the subway collapsed in front of him. All the people with him would have been killed.
I believe that God used Osama bin Laden, just like he used Pharaoh. He hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he'll harden hearts like that.
It's kind of a permissive thing. I'll give you an example. Okay? Put a real hard cube of butter out in the sun. Alright? Okay? Now, put a rock next to it. Okay? Now, this is early in the morning. Now, the sun's coming up. Around 11, that's pretty hot sun. 11 a.m. Well, you look over here, and the butter's turning to liquid. The rock is unchanged. Now, is it the sun's fault, or is it what's in the butter and what's in the rock? You see what I mean? It's what's in the butter and it's what's in the rock, and it is not the sun's fault that everything is that the butter is melting. Yeah. See? Now, it says in the Bible, and this is where a lot of religious people took a wrong turn, because it says in the Bible that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Okay? And of course, Moses obeyed God, and he was God's friend. Look at the two men side by side. Was it God that made Moses good and hardened Pharaoh? Or was it what's in Moses and what's in Pharaoh that made them respond to God differently? The opposite of each other. They're just like the rock and the butter. You see? So when it says God hardened Pharaoh's heart, that's like saying the sun melted the butter. But that doesn't mean that the sun hated the butter. The sun would have loved the butter. You see? So, okay, we got off on a sidetrack. But the soul is the mind, and the mind needs to be reprocessed to the Word of God. Now, I've been doing that for 32 years. Okay? reprocessing my, yeah, it never gets old to me. I still get new revelations, and I love revelations. And guess what? The more revelations you have, the more you get. That's why Jesus says, to him who has will more be given, and to him who has not, even what he has will be taken away from him. And so it's like, you know how they say money makes money? If I had a lot of money, I could make a lot of money. That's true. It's kind of, that's the way revelation works, an understanding of God's word. That's why you're in here, to learn something. Because like begins like in God's kingdom. And that's the way he made the earth. You know, corn grows corn, and apple seeds grow apples, you know, and nothing grows something else. And so, you know, if you sit in the TV room and you fill up on that, I'm not saying that's bad. I watch TV. But what I'm saying is when it's time to study, if you study, you get like that produces more like. And Paul said, you know, I had a thorn in the flesh. And that wasn't from God. That was from the devil. He says, but it was because of my abundance of revelations. And you see, if God wants to use a person mightily, he will give them an abundance of revelations to carry out their calling and their destiny. Yeah. And to him who has, more are given. And to him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And so what I'm saying to you is, if we become hungry for God, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that blessed are they which hunger, for they shall be filled. So we go to bed tonight, we're full of this word. And I just declare good dreams in all of you, and blessed dreams, and sound sleeping, because you got God in you. The Bible says he gives his beloved sweet sleep. You got God in you, and then to him who has will more be given. And so next time you're ready for your soul to partake of even more. Deeper God. I want more. I want deeper. When I was young in the Lord, it was cassette tapes. I had one there playing when I shaved. You know, those old-fashioned tape recorders where you had to push that down. And I had one there next to my bed when I slept. I had one in my car because they didn't have tape players in the cars. So I had a cassette player in my car like this. And they had a hit. There was no hands-free law, so, you know, with the cell phones. So I would drive like this with a great big old cassette player right here at my ear. So I could hear, you know, because I might have my windows down or something, listening. And I was listening. When I ate, I listened to those cassette tapes preaching about the kingdom. And now I take these for people, what I'm saying now. And you can get these, you can listen to these, you can get a device that's about this big, MP3 player, and you can put everything I've ever done in one of these. I would do it for you. These only cost, the MP3 players are only $30. And what I'm saying to you is, they said of me that I had a tapeworm because I listened to so many tapes. But what I was doing is I was processing my soul and my mind. And God said, be renewed by the renewing of your mind. Be renewed. So your human spirit is already without sin, right? But it says the carnal mind is at enmity with God. That means God's enemy. The carnal mind is God's enemy. So what do? You remember I said you kick over your bag of bad seed? You got to get the bad seed out of your head. So you process the Word of God into your head. And now your mind is in agreement with your spirit. Your mind is in agreement with your spirit.
Hallelujah.
You pull together. Okay? You see what I mean?
I did that once. I used to listen to the tape. I remember because it said, by hearing and reading of the Word or something. So I would listen to the Bible as I read it. I try to fill both gates up at the same time.
Those are gates. Eye gate, ear gate. So I covered spirit. I covered soul. Now let's just talk about body real fast. Because God wants to sanctify your body. He wants to preserve your body blameless.
Preserve it.
He wants to preserve your body. Did you know that you could, if your liver is half shot Did you know that I believe God will give you new liver if you sought Him for it? I've seen it. I've seen guys go to the doctor, get a reading on their liver. I've actually prayed over their liver, laid hands on their liver. Well, laid hands on their body, as close to their liver as I get. And then I've seen them within a few days go back and they get another check and their numbers are better. And you see, even without prayer, our bodies renew themselves every 7 years. Our cells are all new every 7 years. It takes 7 years for your whole body to regenerate just with natural restoration and healing. Now, add the prayer, add the understanding, that add the fact that you're not sowing bad seed. Go, you know, you're not poisoning yourself anymore. Add all these factors in that you're living for God, and you can start to have a restored body. You can come back from anything. You can come back from heart disease. Dan, you can have 25 more years if you want it.
Amen.
Let's look here at James, and we'll be done. 5. Break it out, Robert.
For them that believe.
Break your weapon out.
I believe.
Weapon of choice? The Bible.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
Okay, James 5, anybody there? James is at the end of the Bible, right before Peter, and right after Hebrews. Everybody there?
Hallelujah.
Okay, James 5, it says here in 13. Now, because you see, I want to tell you about the sanctification and the preserving of the body. Like, before some of you guys walked in, I said, you can't spend your eternity tonight. You cannot spend your heaven, your right to live in heaven tonight, because you're not dying tonight. So, God wants to preserve your spirit, your soul, and your body, but your spirit cannot use heaven tonight. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, to glorify God, we have to use His benefits to our soul and our body. That's what we seek Him for the rest of our earthly life. Because we're never going to sin again in our human spirit again. So now we have to seek God for our soul and our body the rest of our lives. You see? Now watch this. God showed me that there's two kinds of healing. Okay? There's the ministry of healing, and there's the healing you can get from right off your prayer life from the cross of Calvary. Two kinds of healing. You need to really get this from me, because I have a lot of experience in this, and I've taught this, and believers just scratch their head when I try to explain this to them. But there's two kinds of healing. If a man of God or a woman of God lays their hands on you to be healed, that's called the ministry of healing. Okay? That's for the world. That isn't for believers. Alright? But it can be done on believers. There's a grace in God. If a believer's having trouble believing, I suppose they can go get someone that believes better than them. Okay? Yeah, that's the gift of healing, okay? But there's a healing that's more available than the gift of healing, and it's called, I call it the children's bread. Because Jesus said the healing was the children's bread. And so what happens is, it says, bless the Lord, in Psalms 103, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all of my iniquities, who heals all of my diseases. Jesus carried all your sin and all your diseases on the cross. Okay? Now, when you go to God, you can say, Lord, forgive me, cleanse me, I have sinned. Okay, that's all handled. He forgives you. I forgive you, son. Lord, I'm not feeling very good. Touch my body. Heal my body. What right do I have to say that? Because Jesus bore what's attacking my body on the cross. He bore that I don't have to bear it. See? He was the sin and sickness bearer. I can show you all the scriptures. Just believe me. It says in scripture. By His stripes we are healed. Okay, so watch this. That's that kind of healing that is ours directly, without anybody being between us and God. You don't, you know, the Catholics did that for too long, that the priest needed to be between you and God, that you even went to the priest to say, Father, forgive me for I have sinned. You know what I mean? You got a Father. You already got a Father. Okay? If you can't find a church and you don't believe you've got a Father above your Catholic Father, then you're in trouble. So you need to understand that you can go directly to the Father, and that's what Jesus paid the price to give you. And that's why Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, He was covering that for you and for Him, see. And by the way, someone said this once, and I believe it, God loves us as much as He loves Jesus. Jesus was only the firstborn of many brethren, and we are, you know, I'm like the 7 billionth born, you know, there's about 1 billion Christians on the earth. God loves us as much as He loves Jesus, and we can go to Him just like Jesus did when Jesus was on earth, and we can appropriate healing. You know what? I have healing flowing in me 24/7. And it flows from my born again human spirit, where God lives, out into my body. And get this, this is a huge key. There is a different you ever watch sci-fi and somebody's like out of phase, and they're not phased with the natural universe, and like in Star Trek they might be like disappearing or something. Okay, get this. I am out of phase with sickness. Heaven is out of phase with sickness. Hell and sickness is out of phase with the things of heaven. Remember when we started tonight, I told you I am a citizen of heaven? I'm from heaven, all right? That's where I've been. I've been in heaven at the throne of my Father God. Okay? I'm not saying I'm Christ. I'm saying I'm a little Christ. Did you know what the word Christian means, little Christ? Christ means anointed one. Christian means little anointed one. So I'm another brother. Jesus is the oldest brother. Did you know that in ancient Israel, they gave the oldest brother all the inheritance? You know what his job was? He had to take care of all the younger ones the rest of his life and the rest of their lives. Jesus got all the inheritance, and the Bible says we are joint heirs with Him. Now He shares the inheritance. Healing's in our inheritance against disease. So what I'm trying to say to you is, I can get healing directly from God, but I have to have faith. I have to believe that.
Amen.
Yeah, don't you have to have faith to go to heaven?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and just because I don't feel it in the first moment, it's going to come. In the next 2 hours, in the next 10 hours, in the next 36 hours, my healing is going to manifest, because it has to come, because he bought and paid for it, and it's just, my healing is as strong as the blood of Christ is. You see? And so I have a right to it, and I can have it. And since I'm a citizen of heaven, I throw off a dynamo of glory of God that obliterates sickness and disease. I repel it. And this great man of God who raised the dead over in Africa, named John Lake, he said that the bubonic plague hit over there, and he had these missionaries in South Africa that worked with him. They were like natives that he had taught to be in the ministry. He says his right-hand man, who was a native, a spirit-filled man in him, when the bubonic plague hit, they would go out and start burying the bodies as a service to Christ. They said they would pick them up, and these bodies had pustules on them. And when they'd pick them up, they wouldn't wear gloves. They wouldn't wear nothing. They wouldn't wear a face shield or nothing. And he says when they'd pick these people up, the pustules would burst and like squirt at them. That's that pussy stuff, okay? And that's full of bacteria. And John Lake said, we never caught nothing.
Yeah.
Remember I said, out of phase? You know, when my coworkers in here get sick, I don't get sick. That's all I'm telling you. I say that not to be gloating. I say that so you can be know that what I'm saying is so. I have the fruit. I have the fruit in my life. And my wife doesn't get sick either. And I tried to, something tried to get on me right after, right around Christmas time, and I said, get off. And it left me within an hour. Okay? But watch this. John Lake said that they buried all these bodies. Finally, these scientists, these like CDC guys, they came to him wearing suits. They said, we don't get this. You don't wear suits, and you never catch the disease, and we have to wear all this protection. We'd like you guys to wear the protection. John Lake says, you know what? You see that corpse over there? They go, yeah. He says, you see what's coming out of its mouth, that froth? They go, yeah. He says, go get some of that and bring it to me. And so they said, okay, whatever you say. So they went and they got a little stuff, you know, a little of that froth there. He says, all right, place it on my hand. So they placed a spot of it on his hand. He says, now get out your microscope. So they got out the microscope and he put his hand under the microscope. And as they watched through the microscope, every germ on his hand died. And they said, what is that? And he says, okay, I have a scripture for you. This is found in Romans 8. He says, the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. He says, what flows out of my pores is faith and glory and righteousness. He says, disease dies when it touches my body. And he says, but, he says, what would happen is the disease would come down one street and they'd put placards on the doors that said quarantine, and then the people in that house would die. Then they'd have to go bury them. And as soon as it hit that house, about 3 days later, it would hit that house. And then about 3 days later, it'd go checkerboard, it'd go over and hit that house. He says, what was going on? Every time they saw a quarantine sign up go up, the other residents got in fear. He says, this is what happens. Germs go in your pores when you're fearful of something. You're in a magnet. You attract germs when you're fearful.
It's the power of attraction, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he says, you can repel or you can attract. But you got to believe in God. You got to believe that you've been redeemed. You know. Now, guess what? After you hear a message like this, immediately, so the Bible says, immediately Satan comes to steal this word that was sown. And you can say, no, get out of here. I believe what he said. I'm not falling for that. In Jesus' name it is written, by his stripes I was healed. And stand on it. You stand on it. That's the healing message right there. Now, I pray that God sanctify you holy and preserve you blameless spirit, soul, and body unto the coming of the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, let's pray this together. Lord, wash us in the blood.
Wash us in the blood.
Fill us with your spirit.
Fill us with your spirit.
We have heard your word.
We have heard your word.
We believe we are saved.
I know I'm saved.
We believe we are righteous.
I believe I'm righteous.
We live to not sin.
We live to not sin.
We live to keep your word.
We live to keep your word.
We are healed.
We are healed.
By Jesus' stripes.
By Jesus' stripes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There's power in the blood, wonder working power.